Hello and welcome everyone. This is Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo here for our Sweet Sabbat coaching Q&A call. This is our call during the second week of actually the third week. We just finished our second week of the metabolic reset. So I'm excited to be here to support you in this process. And I just want to talk to you a little bit about where we are in this process, where many of us are in this process. And a little bit more about the process and about to relieve some of the anxiety and fears I see coming up. One of the things I'm noticing is there's a lot of desire to do it right, to do it perfectly. And then some, you know, kind of, not apology isn't the right word, but a feeling I get is that you're feeling badly about yourself for not doing it right or when you quote unquote go off path. So here's the thing. Wherever you are right now is perfect for you. Wherever you are, whether you're doing it perfectly, whether you're eating cheeseburgers three times a day right now, is where you need to be. And in order to move to where you want to be, there needs to be a shift. So if you've got all this great information, but you're not able to put it into place, that says something about your need that's very different than if you've been doing everything perfectly, but like every now and then you get a higher than expected glucose spike and freak out. So first of all, I want to set some definitions. The definition of a spike versus the definition of a peak. We're all measuring to determine the peak, meaning the highest that that glucose goes within the 2 to 3 to 4 hours after you've eaten a meal. For most people, we reach that peak. Peak is the word here. Peak, like a mountain peak. We reach that peak somewhere between a half an hour and an hour. Few people reach it at about an hour and a half. It just depends on your own digestion and your ability to process. We're all different, right? We have different hair. We have different eyes. We have different noses. We have different pancreases. We have different digestive tracts. And we have to accept that we're different. You may be tempted to look on TV or in the movies and see these beautiful, gorgeous, buxom women, gorgeous, physiqued men, and compare yourself to them and say, why don't I look like that? Here's the thing. Same thing happens in the program like this. Going, oh, Mary over there, her blood sugar's perfectly normal. Oh, and my husband's testing and he can eat anything and his blood sugar doesn't go bad. Why? What's wrong with me? It's your unique set of circumstances that have led you to be in the situation you are now. And a lot of people are saying or piped in. One person brought it up and a bunch of people piped in. It's like, I had some rice. This was Lauren. And Lauren said, I had some rice. I had tablespoon of rice with my otherwise good curry that I've measured before as keeping my blood glucose perfect. And it spiked my sugar up. And I said, she said, what's going on? And are we really getting to the root cause? I want to get to the root cause. I don't want to just like placate over it or whatever word she used with doing this reset. I said, this is getting to the root cause. And the root cause or the set of root causes is going to be a little bit different for each of us. Okay. For some, it's that growing up on Kool-Aid and M&Ms, right? For others, it is a major set of traumas or early childhood situations that created a stress in the body. For others, inability to sleep or an injury. Genetics plays a role in all of this. Sedentary lifestyle, too much food, too much bad fats, too much in the way of sugars. Whatever it might be, these are the contributing factors that lead into the whole state of health you're in right now. And in this program, our focus is on helping you to get the blood sugar balanced because blood sugar is at the base. That with, along with digestion, you're at the core, the base of everything that is going wrong with you. Because if you don't have good blood sugar balance and you don't have good digestion, the rest of your body can't function. So we're working at the root cause here by working on the habits that led there. We're working at the food, the movement, the stress level, and helping you to overcome some of the traumas in your in your life, in your body, and giving you techniques and all, sleep, and of course your timing. And all of these have contributed to a greater or lesser extent to your current state. And mine is different than yours, is different from someone else's. Even my sister who posted in there said, this is what's happening to me. I said, yeah, well, you and I have similar genetics. A little bit of a starch or a little bit of a sweet fruit can be shooting the sugar up. We have similar genetics, but not exactly the same, right? So it's all these factors, and you're all in the right place because you're here and you're doing the work. And some people get phenomenally quick results, and some people take longer. Some people do everything all at once, and other people inch in. Whatever path you're on is the right path for you. Now, can you improve that? Sure. But to improve upon that requires a shift in your mindset and your belief about it. If you go into this with fear, like, what if this doesn't work? Or what's wrong with me? Why did my sugar spike up too much? Then you're going to counteract all the good you're doing with the habits. So I'll give you an example. Someone else wrote in that said, why would this happen? I had apple cider vinegar and water and a tablespoon of water, and my sugar spiked to 102. First of all, definition, spike versus peak. Her sugar peaked at 102 and then started to come down. A spike is a number that's abnormally high and outside the range. I don't consider, if I'm targeting for 110 and you get to 120, I don't consider that a spike. I consider that a minor elevation over the optimal. But if it went to 130, 150, 170, that's a spike. Okay? And we need to look at what causative events led to that. It could be the food. It could be the circumstances under which you ate the food, i.e. stressful situation, perhaps. It could be the news you got this morning about, you know, your aunt in Oklahoma who's sick and in the hospital, and you've been fretting and worrying and feeling helpless because you're not there to help her. It could be a bad night of sleep the night before that could cause a meal that on other days was perfectly fine to cause your sugar to go up higher. And here's what I'm going to look at. If you just ate a meal that was something you've eaten before, and it was foods you tested before, and they were fine, and at one point it goes up, it's a piece of data. It's a piece of data. It's not an indication that something's wrong. It's a piece of data. Now, you could look to analyze, and you could say, well, what was my stress, and what was my sleep like? Did I get out in the fresh air? Did I overexercise? Did I underexercise? Did I yell at my boss? I mean, did I get mad at my boss and not yell at my boss, which is more likely to fester and cause this stuff to happen? But it's one time, and you mark it on your chart, and you keep moving on, and you believe in your body's innate ability to heal when put in the right situation. And know that you've been doing your absolute best, and you're going to keep checking it out. Now, if it continues, then you want to look at some other things, right? And we can talk about that. We could try to troubleshoot that. Maybe they just painted at work, and you had a big wallop and load of volatile oil compounds in your breath, and that caused a stress on your system. Maybe somebody came by in one of those crazy airplanes and sprayed those chemtrail things and sprayed your neighborhood, and your body is now dealing with breathing those things in, and it's causing a stress. I would just say we've got to just keep moving forward. And yes, if things continue to happen, you want to question it. But don't give up on the process and say, well, I don't know what to do now. Just keep doing the process. Now, you may want to add, if consistently you're getting some results that are out of what you expect or want, let's look at adding some other nutrients. Our whole module 2 is filled with information about other nutrients you can add. One of them you'll hear me talk about a lot is berberine. If your body tolerates berberine, what a great nutrient. Oregon grape contains it. Golden seal contains it. Golden rod contains it. There's a number of plants that contain it. We actually had somebody on, and I don't remember, sorry, the exact plant, but we asked about berberine-containing plants in other countries, and somebody posted it from Australia and other places. Look it up in your area. Look up berberine-containing herbs, Australia. Italy, whatever, and if there may be something local that you can use. But that's a great one. Great studies on that. And in my recent weekend event that I just went to on neuroplasticity, talked a lot about berberine, not just for blood sugar. Yes, we talked about it for that. But we talked about it for neuroplasticity, which is the ability of your brain to adapt to situations and improve, but also to not improve under the bad situations. And just trust that everything we're teaching here is also helping your brain. The brain is very delicate and very sensitive to blood sugar fluctuations. Okay. Lipoic acid, alpha lipoic acid, look that one up in the amazing studies on that. And if those don't work for you, there's others. Sulforaphane, which is a constituent in broccoli seed extract or broccoli sprouts. And you can buy broccoli sprouts fresh. You can make broccoli sprouts fresh, but if you want a really big concentration of it, you buy broccoli sprout powder, broccoli sprout extract powder. One of my favorite sources is Z Natural Foods. And I'm going to, after listening to some of this research, I'm going to start flopping at least a teaspoon to a tablespoon of that in my smoothies on top of the fresh stuff, just because it has such positive effects on blood sugar balance and brain health. So we've given you the basic core program at the beginning. You do it for a little bit and you go, you know, I'm plateaued. I'm not, you know, getting any better. My sugars were going down, down, down. Now I'm flattened and now I'm plateaued. Okay, great. Let's look at some of those other things that you can do. But let's also really examine those core jumpstart activities that we gave you in the foundations. Those core activities of, you know, the getting to bed on time, the doing heart math 5 times a day, right? Doing fitness bursts at least 4 times a day, if not 8 times a day. The food, right? Eating out of the green or only the foods that keep your sugar within the reasonable range. And then, of course, your timing, not eating before bed, spreading your meals out and all that. And look honestly at which ones you can improve. Don't just say, well, I'm doing well on the food. I don't need to worry about the rest. It's an all or none proposition. For me, I was doing 4 of them consistently, 1 of them 75% of the time. I mean, you know, 3 of them consistently, 1 of them 75% of the time, and 1 of them not at all, or most of the time not. That was the sleep. And that affected me. I was on this pristine diet that you guys would think I was a saint for 25 years before I discovered this problem with my blood sugar. I didn't have the belly fat. I didn't have the brain fat. I didn't have the symptoms. Yet my blood vessels were being damaged every time my sugar went up to 168 when I ate a bowl of pineapple. Believe me, I ate pineapple a lot and mango and papaya. I didn't know that that was what was happening. And so now, I mean, I didn't even have symptoms and I turned it around. Now, am I sleeping all the time? The last 5 nights in a row, I've gotten 7 to 8 hours of sleep. Yappy me, sometimes 9. But on a consistent basis, am I still doing it? No. So then what do I do to compensate? I'm more careful about my food. I go, well, maybe I won't have those blueberries unless I could have it with a big green smoothie. I actually ate a sweet potato the other day. Had it with a huge salad and I was fine. So yay, right? I made progress. Some of you are saying, well, will I ever be able to eat my rice again? Yeah, but do it during the metabolic reset. Let's keep everything stable. And then during the transition period, we're going to figure out how to do it. But I would say at this point, for a lot of you, fear is your worst enemy in this program. The fear that it's not going to work. The fear that you're stabilized. The fear that you're doing the wrong thing and eating the wrong food. All of those fears play in. So I'm going to encourage you, when you start to hear yourself becoming afraid, did I do that right? Did my blood sugar spiked at 120, 119? It's not a spike. It's a peak. Huh, my blood sugar peaked higher than I would like. Let me just observe. We go at life with wonder and curiosity. Wonder and curiosity. Huh, I wonder why that happened. I wonder why that happened. Gee, I wonder why my boss is screaming and yelling at me right now. I wonder if maybe, you know, there's some serious family stuff at home because I didn't do anything to deserve it. Wonder and curiosity and not taking it all on. Is this making sense to everybody? So I'd love to hear some comments. You can do it in the chat or you can raise your hand. I'd love to hear, how is this striking a chord with you? And does it make sense? And I'm happy to answer all these questions. I see some about higher in the morning and lower as the day goes on. Good. And Noreen answered her own question. My blood sugar is higher in the morning and gets lower as the day goes on. I may start at 111 and down to 94 towards the night. I don't have good sleep at night, okay? So the sleep may be contributing to that being a little bit off. Rich, there's no slides. This is a coaching and a support call and just, you know, some other stuff like that. Okay. So anybody have any comments about this? About, does this help or is this just make you feel, I don't want it to say it to make you feel guilty. I don't want it to be making you feel, I want it to make you feel more relaxed about this. Because the relaxed about it is what's going to propel you forward more quickly. Just, I'm doing my best. Every moment I'm doing that. And if you're not, you're going, oh gee, I just ate those M&Ms. I did my best in the moment. I'm going to do my better in the next moment. Right? It takes a long time for some folks to completely turn around those habits that have happened. And sometimes there's emotional pieces, emotional components that are getting in the way. Like you're reaching for food to support you because you need some of that. Bring those things up. Bring those things up. Okay. And that's a lot of that is in module 3, a lot of ways to treat yourself gently. So I'd love to hear from 2 or 3 people. Go ahead and raise your hand and just give me a status of where you're at and how we can support you. But well, actually, right at the beginning, where you're at, I want to hear some successes. Because here's what most of you forget to do, because you're all high achievers, right? I didn't climb the mountain all the way to the top. I only got 3/4 of the way up. So I am not, I'm not good enough. No, let's look at the distance you came. You've all come from different places. And I love it that you're doing that. I love that where you're at. It might take you a whole year to incorporate all of this. It might. Love yourself during the process. Love yourself during the process. Okay? So, breathe. So a couple of people commented as far as, is this helpful? Lynn Rose said yes. Kimberly said yes, absolutely. Margaret says it's helpful. Kimberly said thank you for the affirmations. Absolutely. You're welcome. That's what I'm here for. I get such great satisfaction when I hear people. Someone posted yesterday, and I apologize if I don't remember all the names, because I was in Facebook and I was on my phone and I was traveling and I was trying to answer questions. I actually got Wi-Fi on the plane so I could answer some of the Facebook questions. And I heard someone say that I absolutely loved it. I'm doing this at my own pace. I got started a little late. I'm working through it. I recognize that this is all about lifestyle. This isn't a program. This is about helping me to change my lifestyle. And I'm going to be gentle with my body and go at the pace I love. I loved that. I loved that. Thank you, whoever you were. I'll look back up and see who you are. And personally, I think I commented on it. But thank you. Thank you. Anthony says, for me to hear that it might take a year is very helpful. Yes. There are no quick fixes. Now, there are some of, like Beatrice. She's our, we always talk about Beatrice, who's, you know, 3 months. She reversed a lot of stuff. But she went in like head first, everything on board. She already knew the meditation piece, so that part came. She just kept following. The one thing I did not hear from Beatrice is, why did this happen? Why did this happen? I got, hey, yesterday this happened, so I started to question it. I wasn't sure why it happened, so I went for a walk for 20 minutes, and it got my sugar down. You know, now that I think about it, no, I got this really stressful phone call that I had to deal with shortly before, so that might have been why. It's just like, ah, yes. Perfectly imperfect. I love that, Susan. I love that you're affirming that it's okay to be perfectly imperfect. You do your best in the moment. You do your best in the moment. And you say, okay, I didn't do so good in that moment. Those M&Ms called to me. My son was eating them. How can I do this differently next time? And maybe you come up with an answer. It might be different from you or me. So let me give you a trick. In heart math, there's a thing called freeze frame. We've been working mostly with quick coherence. For those of you who are doing the 30 days. At some point, you'll hear me talk about it. I don't remember exactly what day I start to talk about it, about the freeze frame. And so when you get in a situation where you're going, oh, it's a stressful situation, and you're reacting, your typical reaction, which is to blow up or scream or yell or retreat down, and you stop. That's the freeze the frame. You stop. You just stop. You breathe. you do your quick coherence, which may be going to the beach or going to the mountains, taking a vacation, thinking about holding your cat in your arms in the rocking chair in a place there's no worries, whatever it takes to shift. And then you ask yourself a question. How can I best respond to this situation? And then you know what you have to do? And it's going to be the hard one for everybody. You have to just shut up and listen. And when I say shut up and listen, I don't mean the voice. I mean the thoughts. You just have to, okay. And you ask that question and you're getting that answer from your subconscious. And you have to just not try to understand what you're getting. You just sit with it. Maybe you get a band of color that you see in your mind's eye. Maybe you hear a song or you get a picture. You just like pay attention to it. Give yourself some minutes there, whatever amount of time you have. If you have to reply right away, maybe you give yourself 30 seconds there. And then you get a reaction. You may not be able to interpret that reaction for a couple of days because maybe you write it all down and you go, oh my God, yellow, that means this to me. Right? So that is good. Okay, that's good. So we're going to answer your questions and I'm going to help and support you. And I see a bunch of them coming in. Lynn's helping me by putting the questions because they go flying by sometimes. As I'm answering one question, there's a bunch of them going by and I miss them in the chat. She's going to copy them into a doc so they're in there in the order they come in so I don't miss any. We're going to start with the ones that came in first. But before that, I'd love to hear from one or two of you. And just find out, like, what can you share? And I see three hands up. I see Lynn and Brian, who's not really Brian, and I forget who it is, and Beatrice. So I'm going to start with Lynn. Hi, Lynn.
Hello. I was just listening to everything you said, and you've been, like, leading it into it. And I thought, what if we actually did just a real heart math?
Mm-hmm.
To really bring us into that.
Absolutely. I was planning on it. I wanted to hear from one or two folks. And then we'll go right into that, and then we'll go into the
end.
Yeah. Because you have so much wisdom inside. We all do.
Yes, we
and
do.
And a lot of times the chatter, the left brain chatter, the fear, you know, from that reptilian brain, the chatter gets in the way. And we don't mm-hmm. actually listen to our heart. And when you can listen to your heart, your intuition, whew, amazing stuff comes out.
Yes.
And sometimes it's just about being gentle with yourself.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. We'll definitely do it. I see you gave me the thing, and I'm going to open it. And I'm going to open up the two lines that are here. Brian, who is not Brian, I know, but I don't remember who it is, in Monterey. And then Beatrice. Okay, so let me put down Lynn's hand, and I'm going to open up Brian, who's not Brian, and tell me who you are.
Brian is Danielle.
Danielle, thank you. I'll have to try to remember. I try to remember all these.
Oh, that's okay.
So
oh,
many.
My God. Yeah, I know. That's what I was going to say. You have so many to remember, so that's okay. Totally okay. I'm only on the phone, so I couldn't type it in. But I wanted to say that I really appreciated the normalizing of whatever challenges are on this journey,
mm-hmm.
and that I have way more perfectionism than I think I do.
Mm-hmm.
Partly because like the bar is so low for me right now, I've had to keep lowering it in order to mm-hmm. do my healing work. And so I've had a really intense emotional process that opened something up really big. And then all of a sudden I was craving sugar. I mean, not just sugar. I just could not stop eating. I just mm-hmm. ate and I stayed with, you know, the healthy food, you know, the stuff on the list. And then I had a breakdown and had some sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And I just said, you know what? I'm going to do this. And I did it. And then I was feeling, you know, full afterwards, and I was having a hard time with, you know, because of course my sugar spiked to like 171 or something.
Yeah.
But the cool thing was that before bed it came back down again, and I was shocked about that. Because normally it'll stay high into the next morning. Pardon?
It means you've made improvement, like your body's.
Well, that's
yeah.
That's what I was thinking. So It was back down to 90 before I went to bed. So it was like, wow. So that helped me to say, okay, you know, I can, because I was doing so well. I was so proud of how well I'd been doing at not having sugar or wheat or anything for, you know, like almost a month. And then I thought, oh no, you know, I can't trust myself, you know, kind of where I wanted to go. But, and so just hearing this today, just continues to reinforce that this is about starting and stopping sometimes. And it's not just, you know, getting on the downhill and coasting to the bottom, you know, nice and neat. It's going to be whatever it is.
It is whatever it is. And, you know, making the analogy to bike riding is a good one because like when I don't know about you, maybe you were better than me, but when I first learned to ride a bike, it was so much stop and start and it was so much falling off and getting back on. And then once I got it, right? You never forget. You can be off the bike for 14 years and you go back on and you might be a little wobbly for a second or two, but you get it.
Oh no, a little bit longer than that. Cause I just started getting back on a bike and the seat was too high and I couldn't feel my feet on the ground. And so I couldn't trust myself to do it, even though I did it a little bit, but it was, you know, it's like I need a little bit more to feel comfortable.
That was not because you couldn't ride it. It was because there was another option.
Right.
The seat was too high.
Right. But otherwise I did know how to do it. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. We remember. And the same thing with this. You've been doing these eating habits for however many years. For some of us, you know, 6 decades or more. For some, you know, 3 decades. And for others, shorter or longer. But it's a habit. And when your natural go-to when you became emotional is something you've learned probably from the time you were 3 or less was to reach for food to soothe. And so you were feeling these emotions came up and you didn't have quite a coping mechanism established for how to soothe it. You wanted to get rid of it. That's the thing. We want to get rid of those uncomfortable feelings. And so we go with the food. And so I'm going to encourage you. I don't know if you've listened to the recording we had with Trisha Nelson, which was on the emotional eating.
It is available, right? Because
it's available. Please go listen to it because it just this is, you know, how we have to create new soothing habits. And when you don't have them in place, you fall back to I can't stand this emotion. Now sometimes it's just journaling the feelings and learning to just feel the feelings and go, I'm still alive. I made it through. Right? And so that's a path. Now, one of the things that we talked about is like sometimes on the road to creating new habits for when those feelings come up and you want to get rid of them, it's just change the coping behavior. Sometimes it's just change the food. So instead of eating sugar, you eat a stevia sweetened chocolate bar, right? Whatever.
Yeah.
I told somebody the other day to just go buy half a dozen Lily's chocolate bars sweetened with stevia and stick it in the freezer and get rid of the ice cream. Instead of reaching for the ice cream to soothe, is to break off a piece of that and find something else. Now that's not addressing the root cause, but it's making the soothing behavior less damaging to you. Right?
Mm-hmm. So I did that for a while. I had the tea. But it just wasn't enough.
It just was getting to the point where you tried and you couldn't get past it. Right. So it's learning other self-soothing behaviors and learning, how to cope with the feelings. And that's, you know, beyond just what we can do here. That's something to really explore. Trish Nelson goes through that a lot in her program and, Laura Fine teaches a lot of that. And there's a number of people online who teach.
Yeah.
You know, that piece of it. It's a very important piece.
I've done a lot of emotional healing work and I can handle deep emotions, but when they come up, I don't remember that I can handle it. You know, so that first reaction is like, okay, gotta soothe, gotta slow this down because things are moving too fast. So for me, it's about slowing things down or connecting with somebody so that I can slow it down.
Yes.
And so that's like for me the important piece is like reaching out and saying, okay, I just need an ear right now. And then as soon as I have an ear, then everything, you know, whatever's there can break. And, you know, so for me, it's like a self-care piece in terms of reaching out, which is incredibly difficult to do.
It's incredibly difficult for you to reach out, you mean, because you don't want to burn.
Yeah.
So what if you, and this is something you guys can do in the program, is to see about finding buddies that you're both in a similar situation and you want to be able to reach out to each other. Then it's not a burden, right? Because this is somebody who's going to reach out to you when it happens to them. You're going to reach out to them when it happens to you. So you might look at anybody who's interested in that, create a Facebook post out there that says looking for buddies, and maybe you find somebody who's on a similar time zone. You want to be calling somebody in Australia if you're in California.
Well, actually, you know, Marsha and I are buddies, but I haven't been keeping up my end of the buddy deal, so I was feeling awkward about, you know, reaching out, you know, like in that kind of desperation.
Hey, Marsha, you
got
to reach out to Danielle and ask for help so she doesn't feel that she's been asking for help and you haven't. So, Marsha, you going to do that? Marsha, post, or I don't see her. She's here.
She's Marcia, always there, and I'm sure she's going to say yes.
Yeah, because she will reach out.
Yeah,
she's very good about
publicly
sharing it on the Facebook group. But do your both. Mm-hmm. You have to do both ends because us givers don't like to ask.
I'm a much better giver than I am an asker, so absolutely. I get that.
You and almost everybody else on this program, honey, because that's what gets
probably.
That's what gets us into trouble. Okay.
Oh my.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing.
Okay.
I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Mm-hmm. Bye bye. Okay. All right. We'll take another share, and then we'll go on to the questions. Beatrice, you have a share.
Hi, Dr. Rita Marie. First of all, I want to say thank you for all the calls you've had all these years because they really helped me. It makes a big difference to hear what everybody is saying. But that's not what I talked to you this time. I want to give everyone a quote that I have that has helped me through the years in a lot of things. Supposedly it's from Socrates, but I'm not sure. Okay? And he says, the secret of change is to focus all of your energy not on fighting the old, but on building the new.
Brilliant.
And that is so true.
Brilliant.
So if I start thinking, gee, I wish I could eat this meal that I'm making for my family. And I've been making a lot of meals for my family because they all got the flu. And instead of saying I have a delicious green smoothie that I can take now and carry with me wherever I need it, then I'm really going to mess myself up. And I know what I'm going to say is not scientific. But I have a feeling that when you're telling your body, I wish I could do this, that I can't, the body is going to be fighting the good part that you're doing to it.
That's true. I agree with that. I don't have any, you know, I'm sure we could find science to back it up because it's creating a stress in the system. It is.
So if you're saying green smoothie, I wish I could have, I don't know, rice or whatever it is, your body is saying, I don't want this green smoothie. I want something else. And then it's just putting something into ourselves that we don't want to. So if we just make a little switch, if we just steps to the right or to the left, and we look at things a little bit different, and I'm talking about my own experience, Dr. Rita Marie. I, with that call with Trisha Nelson, I had to admit at my young age of 72 that I am a food addict.
Mm-hmm.
And I have, I think, all my life. So once you admit something, you can deal with it.
Yes.
But that saying about looking at things differently and focusing on whatever new it is that you're learning, just let the others to the side and don't even think about it. And it makes a big difference in how we do things. It really does.
Thank you. That was a good quote. And I would say, too, that, the dragon? The monster you know is easier to deal with than the monster that you don't know or that hidden or something like that. It's just when you bring it out in the open, then you can deal with it. But when you try to hide it and you keep it in there. It's this demonic presence that just creates you to doing.
That's stuff. Right. And the more you want to not deal with it, the stronger it gets.
Oh, I know what I was going to say. You reminded me of a story that I found very inspiring, and it was from Dr. Thomas Lodi, he's an integrative oncologist out in Arizona, and I had interviewed him on my radio show, and I'd also had some conversations with him before that. One of the stories he told was about a patient that he had who came to him, was wheeled in on a gurney with fourth stage lung cancer, and he was told he wasn't going to live. Some family member said, you know, let's take him over there. They wheeled him in on a gurney, and Lodi sits with people on the first visit and talks to them about, guess what, their mind and their emotions, and that I can give you herbs, and I can give you IVs, and I can give you food and juices, but if you don't shift your attitude about it, I can't help you, and you will die.
That's right.
So this one person, he would make him the green juice, and he had them drinking like 2 to 3 quarts of green juice a day, very green, like no fruit, just lemon with broccoli and a couple of other greens, dark greens, and they would drink it. And he said he'd never seen anything like it. This man would sit, and he would caress the juice, and he would speak to the juice, and he would thank the juice, and he would gently sip the juice. You've never seen anybody do quite the ritual like that. 5 weeks later, this guy was jogging to the center to take his classes. Five weeks later. Okay. Because he just switched. He switched the attitude. He created the environment for healing in the body. And the environment for healing in the body is an environment of allow, right? It's not a feeling of fear or trepidation, or I don't know if I can do this. I don't want to do this. Why is this so hard? Why does that person over there not have to do this, and they can eat all they want and they're okay?
All at once. You know, Dr. Rita Marie, what I have learned from mindfulness meditation is that when the mind is calm, the body is going to follow.
That's right.
Everything starts with the mind.
That's right.
For the body to react, the mind has to be in the right groove, which is exactly what you're saying.
That's exactly right. And what I'm saying is, let's just figure a way. And we're going to go into a heart math right now. And I just saw Ellen had raised her hand a little while ago. I'll give her a chance if it's something you want to comment on, Ellen. But nobody else, okay? One more. And then we're going to go into our heart math, because 80% of it, I'm finding, comes from here. And you could be doing almost everything right. You're eating this perfect diet. You're doing your bursts. And your attitude, your stress is still so high. It's going to be really hard to heal. It really
is. It's just not going to work. The program is not going to work, and you have the best program there is. Let me just tell you quickly what my son said. He didn't want me to go into the house because I had been babysitting my grandson the day before, and they finally called from the hospital and said, yes, he did have the flu. And, of course, I'm older, although my son didn't know how to say you're older. He just kept saying, I don't want to. Finally, he said, well, you did take the shot, didn't you? And I said, no, I did not. I do not take the flu shot. And he went berserk. Finally, he said, tell me you're a hippie with an immune system. And I said, I've never been called a hippie, but yes, I have an immune system. Well, the whole family got the flu, but I didn't.
Except for you. Very good. Love
Father
it. Love it.
Thank you, Dr. Rita Marie.
You're very
and
welcome. Thank
everyone
you.
Who asked all those wonderful questions every place. I love them all. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Beatrice. Everybody got the flu except her, and she didn't get the shot. Okay, Ellen, and then we're going to do a heart math, and then we're going to go to the questions as they've been typed in. Hi, Ellen.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely. Pleasure.
I just want to say that to give people encouragement, because I've been my hemoglobin A1C was like 5.7, 5.8 for a few years, and I started testing my own blood sugar just on my own in August of 2016. Mm-hmm. And so I've been really working on my blood sugar for 1.5 full years. Mm-hmm. And I just want to tell people that you can't change all your habits at once, but you pick one thing leads to another.
Yep.
You know, changing one thing leads to another. There's so many things I'm doing differently than I did before. And one of the things that I have it's really been hard for me to leave out was sucking on squares of dark chocolate, like 80%, but dark chocolate. Mm. And I never ever did get that up because it was just like the one thing that soothed me or my, anyway. So I finally now, it's been since, the week before Easter, I just said, that's enough. I realized that I was addicted to the dark chocolate. Mm. It was like, it wasn't like I just wanted it to soothe me. It was, I used to be able to have a square and then four squares and then it needs to be eight squares. And then, exactly. There was a couple days that when, so, but what that was having something that was drawing insulin at all times.
Yes.
So I was essentially calling out insulin at all times. And, so 3 weeks ago, it's been 3 weeks that I haven't had any dark chocolate. And I almost have to practice abstinence, I know, because, and on what, there was one night this week, one afternoon, when I was doing a mailing, and you know how mailings are, you've got sort and stuff envelopes and get them, and the time to get to the post office coming, and God, I wanted some dark chocolate just to have in my mouth as I did that. I really, really did. And I didn't go. I don't know, I listened to forget her name, but the woman who talked about sugar and binge eating with you. I listened to you and her, and that kind of, I thought, well, you know what? I'd like to belong to this club. I'm not gonna step out of the boundary here. And I didn't go, and I was so glad I didn't. Mm. I was so glad I didn't. But interestingly, that little bit of stopping that sugar, my glucose levels have really settled. They've really settled. And, like, I'm actually 70s in the morning, and today I ate a late lunch, and I ate plenty, and I got up to 109. I thought, yay, I didn't go to 110, but, beautiful. But the other thing that I find, too, is I'm able to stop eating by 4 p.m. and then not eat until the morning. So do
beautiful.
Like, but I eat closer than the 5 to 6 hours during the day. I mean, I'll eat, like, I'll start eating at, like, 6 or 7 a.m. to have a kind of a tease meal, and then, but I'll eat two meals in there because I'm 113 pounds, so I really.
Oh yeah, you can't go to lunch.
Right.
You're fine.
But I find I really need to fill up. I love vegetables. I love this kind of eating. I love it. But I really need to get my belly needs to feel full. Otherwise, I keep grabbing. So I really eat till I'm full, and then eat again in maybe 3 or 4 hours. But then after 4 o'clock. It really shuts off. I've really gotten so it shuts off, and I'm not craving food at night anymore. If I don't let anything pass my lips, then nothing does.
Beautiful. Yeah.
So you're listening
to your body during the day, Ellen, because you need to get a certain number of calories to maintain your weight. You don't want to get too skinny. And even though it's closer apart, you're eating according to plan, and that's fine, right? Now, if somebody's overweight, I would say, well, let's see if we can shift that a little, but it's working for you. So beautiful. And you have to eat till you're satisfied. And for different people, it's different amounts. And when your body is underweight and maybe you have a high metabolism, your body needs a certain amount before it will turn off. And then by the time 4 o'clock comes, it's like, well, you've eaten plenty for the day. You've satisfied your nutrient needs. You've had plenty of vegetables and we don't need any more. We're good.
Exactly. That's what it is. But I really want to tell people this isn't about a month. This is about a path.
Right. Right. Thank you. Beautiful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. So let's just trust our bodies and let's trust the path we're on. And let's just start here by just getting comfortable and let's focus on getting into, remember the parasympathetic nervous system versus the sympathetic nervous system. Sympathetic is run away from tiger, mobilize sugar from your muscles, get it into your blood, get you going. And you know what, when you're sitting at your desk and you're sitting at home or you're doing non-physical activity and you mobilize blood sugar, you get sugar up, it causes you to crave more. You know how that goes. So we really need to be able to do this regularly. So let's just do it now because we've all come from different places. It's a long day. Take some long, slow, deep breaths. If you want to, I really like this. I thought about this morning and I want to repeat it. Put your right hand over your heart and your left hand over your belly. And guess what? That's like giving yourself a hug. And you know what you stimulate? You stimulate a hormone called oxytocin. That's the milk letdown hormone. That's the hormone that creates that bonding with a mama and her baby. It's a hormone that gets secreted when you get into a big hug with people, when you have an orgasm, when you're doing community stuff, where you're working with people in a community. And it's the bonding. It's the love hormone. And it's very, very healing and very soothing for the brain. So I realized this morning that I like to hold. And it's like, oh, I'm giving myself just a little loving and hug. And I'm probably stimulating oxytocin as well as bringing down my insulin and my cortisol. So let's just do that and take some long, slow, deep breaths. When you get to the full inhale, hold it for a few seconds and then let it go. Really push that exhale for as long as you can without, of course, passing out. Because that's what's activating that parasympathetic, that healing nervous system, that nervous system that lowers your glucose, lowers your cortisol, activates your digestion, activates your sex hormones, all of that stuff. So just do a few of those and put your attention on your heart as you do it. Put your attention on your heart, the center of love, the center of blood flow, center of life. And then as you're breathing, breathe in a visualization or the feeling of being with someone who you really care about and appreciate. A situation, a place, a person, an animal, somebody in your life that brings you joy, some place. I like to go to the beach and just be by myself and allow that feeling of appreciation to permeate through your entire body. Allow yourself to feel that love, that appreciation. Allow your brain to really recreate the situation, all the sights, the sounds, the tastes, the smells, the sensations on your skin. Because we can trick our nervous system into being in a place that's wonderful. And all the chemical soup, I like to call it, that happens when you're in a joyful spot. All the healing chemicals. And hang there for a breath or two. And set the intention to bring the feelings back with you. Back with you into the present. So you can be fully present with the call, with your colleagues, with me, with Lynn. With all the wonderful people who are in this program, who have similar goals, which is to be your very best you. Because you know you have a mission in life. Whether that mission be to be the best role model for your family, to be an amazing person in your career, to start a company, a nonprofit, to save the environment, to just be a presence. An ever positive, ever loving presence. When you're feeling badly, it's hard to do that. You allow yourself to do this process 5 times a day. It doesn't take long. Before each meal for sure. Before you go to sleep. Before you get up. And any other time you need it. When you practice it over and over, when you don't need it, it'll come to you when you do need it. And allow you to shift from the sympathetic fight-flight mode into that healing parasympathetic mode. So breaths, one last breath in, out. So I'm going to switch gears and I'm going to go to the file of questions that have been typed in. I will still alternate. I'm going to get all the questions that were typed before the call done. And then I'm going to switch back and forth between live if you want to open up your line and share. Or if you just want to type it in, you can type it into the chat or the Q&A and Lynn will set it up for me. Just it's easier for me when I do it that way. Is everybody good? Raise your hand if you are feeling good. Yes? You're ready to go? You're ready to learn? You ready to grow? Star two, raise your hand if you're ready to go. You're ready to work together. You're ready to heal. You're ready to activate your body's inner healer, to awaken that inner healer, to give it what it needs in this moment and in every moment, and to be gentle with yourself. Star two, just raise your hand, star two, and that will tell me that you're ready. Yes? And why is it we have 7 out of 41 callers that said yes? I'm one of them, so 7 out of 40. Go ahead and just do a star two. When I come back, I'll put the hands down, and then I'll let you put your hand back up if you have a question or a comment. So I'm going to start to answer the questions. For those of you who are not raising your hand, let me know why. Like, why? Is there something holding you back? Are you scared? Are you skeptical? Jane says, I just read that berberine should be cycled on and off. Is that true? Yeah, I like to cycle berberine on and off, and I usually do that when I'm doing it in a gut healing protocol. You can, you know, initially you can do it for a whole month, like a month on, a few days off, a month on, a few days off. If you tend to have gut issues and you suspect that there's some organisms living in your gut that shouldn't be there, you might want to do 5 days on, 2 days off, 5 days on, 2 days off. Any other supplement need to be cycled? I would say any of the antimicrobials would be best cycled, right? And in general, if you're going to be on something for a long time, like say you're going to be on something for months because of healing something, not a bad idea to do it for a month and take 2 days off, but see how it goes. But there's not, that's the one that is more important to do. Vanadium, that's one that's not meant to be cycled. It's meant to just be done for a month and then see how it goes. The adaptogens and the energy elixirs. What I like to do in the energy elixirs is to vary the adaptogens. And so what I typically do, I know this is a little bit more esoteric than my usual, you know, left brain scientific self, is I like to test myself. I like to do what we call the sway test to just see, or have somebody muscle test it or muscle test myself. And I just ask my body what it needs. And I can go like a month straight sometimes and cordyceps, 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 and then suddenly it doesn't want cordyceps, and so I don't do it. But cycling them, like varying them from day to day, can be helpful with those adaptogens and the elixirs. Thank you for all you do. I'm great. Thankful for you every day. You're so welcome, Jane. Andrea from Hawaii. Have a question about some superfoods and if they're okay. Kamu Kamu for vitamin C, noni powder, and yakan syrup. Will they spike my sugar? You know, the only person that can say whether they will spike your sugar is you and your trusty meter. The one of these, Kamu Kamu is less likely. I would say yakan syrup is not a superfood. It is a sweetener. So I find that yakan powder is less likely to raise sugar, and the yakan syrup doesn't have any nutritional value, really. Yakan powder will have some effects as a prebiotic, but again, you need to test. Kamu Kamu is probably, noni powder is probably the least likely of the three, yakan the most likely, and Kamu Kamu in the middle, so test, yeah. Marsha. I go to my special place or memory regarding heart nets. I go to my special place or memory, breathing in and out of my precious heart. When I'm in a bad mood, I'm so identified with the mood that I don't want to let go. Oh, I know this feeling. I used to have this. The justification or familiarity with being pissed off, depressed, etc., is like toxic Velcro. Totally. I don't yet have the ability to think of a wonderful memory during those times. The histrionic seems so familiar, and really, I'm a maniac. My poor husband, Andy. Yes, and I will tell you. When I first learned heart math, I had a 3-year-old. I had a very, let's just say, stubborn 3-year-old. And when he would do stuff that was so off the top, I just felt like I was justified in being mad. And I would literally lay myself down on the floor and try so hard. So I would say, you just keep trying it and just keep telling yourself to shift, trying it, and just allowing, if you're still in that, I deserve to be pissed off. I deserve to be depressed. Just breathe through it and just keep trying. It took me a couple of years to get really good at heart math. A couple of years. Very conditioned to negative, yelling, controlling because I've lived in so much fear. Yes. I love fun as an antidote to stress. but the heart and at peace, I have a rebellious part, even having been a meditator for 20 years, twice a day for 20 minutes when I was 20 to 40. The pillar is really challenging. Yep. And guess what? That's because you need it the most. How to harness the energy in that wild child, reduce the stress or transform that energy to something else. Hard to do when chronically fatigued. I guess this is an observation, but also appreciate more tips. Thankfully. First time not on the call. My injured puppy at the vet. Oh, I hope she's better. So here's the thing. What Marcia says is so true, and so many of us go through it, and I went through it too. And it just took me doing it over and over and over again. Well, I think when I actually took a little heart math class with a heart math trainer, and I worked with her, and she got into some of the questions, and she asked me specific stuff and taught me that stuff, but it did take a while to let go of that. But you just keep trying. Now, if you like fun as an antidote to stress, maybe instead of trying to do the heart math thing, you do something fun for yourself. You say, I'm going to go stick my feet in the swimming pool. I'm going to go take a bath. I am going to whatever. Do the fun. We give you that fun exercise, don't we? We give you the fun exercise to write down all the things you find is fun. And write down something, all the things you can do, and then pick something that only takes a few minutes. Do you like to knit? Do you like to do pottery? Like, what can you do? Maybe you don't have time to just throw a pot, but maybe you have time to read a pottery journal that's full of great ideas and pretty pictures. Like, something to shift your body and then breathe into joy. Choose joy. Choose love. Choose acceptance. It takes time. It takes practice because you've got old toxic emotions built up. Miss Holistic Gal in California. Love the email. My question is about how many consecutive days do we have to have a metabolic insulin receptor reset? As I've been progressing, there have been at least 7 or 8 days since April 1st. The fasting has not been 75 to 85. It's been 90 or 95. And spikes have gone up to 126 or 136. My store-bought vegan organic yogurt spikes me in a certain brand of hummus. Yes, sometimes supplements will spike me. I'm wondering how to gauge myself for continuing past 4 weeks. We will go into the transition period. So there's going to be a segment in there and says you're ready to go into the transition when these certain circumstances, and you're going to start testing. But for some people, it's going to take longer, especially if there's indiscretions that like the yogurt and the hummus. So you... 30 days, 21 days for some, and it depends on how. It sounds like your numbers are reasonable. You're not like in a diabetic range to start, so it should take longer. You'll know what to do. Now, some of the supplements that spike you may have rice flour in them, and it may be glycerin. So look at what those are. A lot of them have rice flour, and that raises people. So just go back and avoid it. And then when you start to test, you go, okay, do I really think I should be testing now? You go, nope. If anything throws you off, then you go back and you go and you try to get the 4 weeks. But yeah, absolutely. It can take longer and it could be shorter. Is it imperative to have a consistent, consecutive minimum 4 weeks time span, always being in range in order to reset the receptor cells? Nothing is absolute. So yeah, you need to be doing it consistently, but if there's an occasional rise, is that going to completely throw you off? It just depends. Okay. Oftentimes I wake up fasting ranges. You said this before. I'm working on reversing longstanding chronic illness of crushing fatigue, heavy metal toxicity. And the heavy metals are in your body. And as you start to, if you're losing any weight, you start to mobilize those toxins. So you're going to get some toxic load and it may take longer if you have heavy metals. Yes. And I want you to continue in the best possible way and continue with, I love this. I want to make sure I continue eating in the best possible way. I'm going to go as long as it takes. Don't plan on stopping. So I would really look at your numbers and see if you, once you make it 3 to 4 weeks of very consistent, you'll have the instructions. If you want to jump ahead, all the modules are open. So I'd suggest going to the transition, the metabolic reset transition, and read about that. And that'll give you an idea. Okay, so will I suggest an idea of the time frame to reset the receptor cells before even thinking about reintroducing? Again, it depends on your numbers. We set it for 30 days, and then you can start thinking about it. Okay, so I think I've answered it. You asked it in three different ways. Somebody's trying to call me on my phone. Let me just make sure it's turned off. Yeah, so I think I've given you enough. Go to the transition piece. You go as long as you need to. And if you're feeling like, you know, I'm ready to try. And if you try something and it messes you up, then go and start again and maybe go a little bit longer. And you're going to, in the transition, we teach you how to start with the least likely to raise, going to the most likely. So if you've been off all fruit, maybe you're going to add some blueberries and see how they react. And if you get a spike, and you're going to go to tiny amounts and go, oh, wow, I ate 4 blueberries and it didn't raise my sugar. Great. Then you might try 6 blueberries or a quarter cup of blueberries, but you're going to do it gradually. And if you respond well, then you can step it up. But if you don't, then you're going to backtrack. Diane says, I've been soaking nuts and seeds whenever possible to decrease phytic acid and lectins. I've recently started to dehydrate them after soaking. Great. My question is, which is healthier, a raw cashew or a cashew soaked and dehydrated? I would say a cashew soaked and dehydrated, because when you soak the nuts, it germinates them and it starts the breakdown, so it's much easier on your digestion. Which is healthier, a raw walnut or a soaked and dehydrated? Same thing. For any of them, the soaked and dehydrated would be usually easier on the digestion than the raw. Diane, might one get into a ketogenic state when on the sweet spot? Yes, absolutely. It's a mild ketogenic state. So I tested my ketones. I don't test them every day anymore, but last week I tested them quite a number of times, and I was always in the 0.5 to 0.9 range, which is mild ketosis. And you can get that just by doing intermittent fasting, like going 12 to 14 hours between your last meal and your first meal. You can do that by keeping a low intake, and it's going to vary from person to person. I have the Keto Mojo, so I'm able to test the blood ketones. The urine ketones are not so accurate, so you might be able to tell if you're really in ketosis, but you might be in a mild ketosis and not know it. But yeah, this is a mild ketogenic diet when you do it the right way, which is absolutely, you know, ideal. You can go into full-blown ketosis. It takes a little bit more. You can do it during fasting. Personally, I go into that within one 24-hour period of fasting. I go into that, and some people do, and some people it takes longer. And when you're doing it and going into a higher state of ketosis, you often feel like a flu-like symptoms, like detox-type symptoms come on as your body's shifting. And then, Diane, might one expect their leptin and ketone levels to improve? Absolutely, totally, yes. And Rich says, to help reduce the glucose spike on certain foods, you talk about eating greens with the food. Does eating fats at the same time also work? So, and the second question, I'll answer that too. It's a great question. So, yeah, so here's the thing. If you're eating fat with greens, then it could have a similar effect. But when you eat fat with fruit, it often masks the insulinogenic properties of that fruit. So I don't recommend in general fat with fruit. Some of the exceptions are soaked kind of sprouted chia and yogurt, because they're fermented and or they're germinated and they've broken down the fats. And then you can eat that with fruit, like a few blueberries, not a high level of fruit. But eating greens with anything really will help slow it down. Fat will slow it down, but if you're eating a high glycemic food with fat, you might get a falsely low reading because it doesn't raise the glucose, but it still raises the insulin, which is still aggravating the receptors. And then, why does the exercise sometimes not lower blood sugar but increases it? Rich, great question of the day. And that's because when the exercise raises the blood sugar, it's generally because you've put yourself into a stressful situation. You exercised too heavy for your current body adrenal biochemical state. So if that happens, and I'm not talking like a couple of points, you know, like 5 points, but once it's 10 or more, and it's up 10 or more after a good workout, it's usually because you've put yourself in a stress situation. Your body secreted cortisol. The cortisol went out and started burning down your muscle, which is the opposite of what we want a good exercise program to do. Okay? So that's why. I had that happen once last. I had that happen, actually, an interesting thing. I had that happen during a fast. So on my fast, I had been very moderate, very light exercise, and I was doing really well, and I actually my blood sugars were keeping really low, like really low. And I went into the really heavy workout with a trainer. And after that, my blood sugar jumped up like 25 points. So I knew I'd put myself into a stress situation. I also felt kind of worn out from it. And it threw my blood sugars off for a couple of days. So just be careful. Like, trust your body. When you're increasing the intensity of your exercise, start with an intensity that actually either keeps your sugar the same or lowers it. That's the ideal. And then you go and you do a little bit more and a little bit more, just like with food, with introduction of food. Darlene, does stevia interfere with resensitizing insulin receptors? I haven't found it to be so. There are some research papers that suggest that perhaps because stevia has a sweet taste on the tongue, that it might stimulate insulin and not. But I've had so many people go through this program using stevia that it seems to work. But the real thing would be to try to get yourself away from that need for the sweet taste. And Darlene also asked, where can I find the magnesium loading document? That is on the nutrition, and I think it's on the advanced page on the nutrition. So the deep dive steps. Margaret, I'll be traveling with a group for 8 days starting Sunday. What's your best tips for staying on sweet spot? Margaret, it depends on where you're going and how much access you have to food. If you're traveling with a group, but you're traveling and you'll have access to go into stores, I would, first of all, bring food along with you. If you have a dehydrator, dehydrate a bunch of stuff. I'm leaving town on Thursday for like 13 days, 12 days, going to Europe. I don't know what the food's going to be like. Tomorrow, I actually am paying somebody to come over and make me a bunch of travel food, meaning like take a lot of veggies and dehydrate them in with nuts or seeds to create crackers. So I have green food that I'm traveling with for the 14-hour plane flight, right? I'm not going to eat the food they're going to serve on that 14-hour plane flight. Believe me, I won't touch it. I'm just not there. I will not touch it. But I will carry stuff with me and be able to eat it. I carry green powders. I carry protein powders. I carry nuts and seeds, and I carry some of that. And like for the beginning part of the thing, you can actually bring on a salad. You can bring on a healthy wrap. You can bring on any of that for, you know, parts of it. So the part when you're leaving home, you can take some fresh food and have it for as long as you can. You can take some dehydrated food. You can take nuts and seeds. You can take some of my bars, the unstoppable bars, that's what they're called. And then the other thing you do is, depending on how you're traveling, you stop along the way and you visit places and get food. Margaret, I'm having a hard time getting enough protein in the morning. Today I remember that I have gelatin, Great Lakes brand. It has 12 grams of protein in a tablespoon. Love to use it, maybe in some warm water in the AM. I'm trying to extend the time I'm feeling satiated. Yeah, you can certainly use that. You can use that. You can use, as long as it's an organic, good protein source, go for it. Be careful with like the grain proteins, like rice protein, if you happen to be gluten sensitive or carbohydrate sensitive, because those proteins can actually mimic gluten. So be careful. And if you have one of the protein powders and you don't do well with it, don't go back to it. Go to a different one. There's a lot of them available. How do we have to worry about oxalates because of the greens and nuts we're eating? First of all, let's get the word worry out of your system. You can say concerned about, do I have to think about oxalates? Oxalates can be a problem with people who have leaky gut, with people who have a genetic tendency. So if you find that oxalates bother you in some way, whether you get headaches or you get gut problems or any other things, then cut them back a little bit. If you have a good, healthy gut and you don't have sensitivity to oxalates, you don't have to worry so much. You just don't want to overdo them. So the greens that are highest in oxalates, which would be like rhubarb, which most of us don't eat, spinach and chard, those are the highest. I go real gentle with those because they will draw out your minerals. That's the thing that they do for everybody. They draw out your minerals. They'll grab onto your calcium and magnesium. So you can always take a supplement of calcium, magnesium citrate with high oxalate foods. But for me, I just use a little. I don't use spinach exclusively. I use a little bit of spinach. I use a bunch of other stuff. Arugula is very, very low in oxalates, maybe non-existent in them. And get a chart and look if you're concerned. But just, I would say, go easy, rotate them a lot. And if you find that something bothers you, then leave it out. Also, if my blood sugar doesn't spike, can I saute my mushrooms and peppers with sesame seed oil? Yeah, don't use too much sesame seed oil because, yes, it's partially monounsaturated, which is not so sensitive. But if you use too much of any oil, they oxidize and they create problems. So I'll use sesame oil sometimes. I use an organic cold processed sesame oil a little bit, and it goes a long way. A little bit goes a long way. Can you please explain how the Keto Mojo works? Is it testing for ketones? Yeah. So the Keto Mojo has two phases. It has two different types of strips. And when you put the strip in, it'll determine whether you put a ketone strip in it or a glucose strip. So you can test your glucose. And when you test your glucose, it also gives you some other numbers like your hematocrit and your hemoglobin. But the ketone is a separate strip. So you test it just like you would glucose. With ketones, you don't want to be testing, you know, 17 times a day, once or twice a day if you're working on getting into ketosis. Usually once is plenty. So you just test it the same way you do glucose and you stick the strip in. You can take the Keto Mojo then and take the glucose strips and stick those in and measure your glucose that way. I have a question as to why my blood sugar usually goes down not much and then after 15 minutes starts to go up after I eat. Yeah, so the reading right after you eat is really not all that telling. So if it's like 15 minutes or right after you eat, then don't worry about it. But I would look at what's happening starting at 15 minutes. All right. I don't know why it does that. There's any number of reasons why it could do that. But if it's not too much, if it's just going down a couple of points and then up, wouldn't worry about it. If it goes down 20 or 30 points, then that probably means that what you just ate caused you to have a lot of insulin secretion and a reactive hypoglycemia. But there's also two stages of insulin secretion. I don't want to get into all that. It's real scientific and all. There's two stages of insulin secretion. And so it may just be that you had the big burst at the beginning and then the rest of it caught up. Raya says, is there a good wrist-based HRV measurement? What do you recommend as a fitness tracker, ideally with HRV, ability to track different forms of exercising, including on Rebounder and multiple timers for scheduling? I'm not really familiar with a lot of these trackers. I use the HeartMath, which is you can either clip it on your ear or you can put it on your finger. I don't think it has a wristband to measure it. And then, of course, there's Fitbit and a whole bunch of others. Maria Horseman, if you tag her on the Facebook group, she knows of one that she's been using and testing out for a while. I'm not sure if it has all that, but Maria Horseman, just tag her on the Facebook, and Maria can answer if she knows of other brands. So I know she was testing one out. She showed it to me, but I don't remember the name of it. But that's good things to test. It's great to test. The more things you can test, the better. Lauren, have you ever had anybody complain of liver pain and soreness? Wondered if detoxing too fast might cause that. Chiropractor complaint verified it was liver and not gallbladder. Yeah, yes, during detox, definitely the liver can become, it's working really hard. So slow it down. If it's really bad, definitely slow it down. If it's just this mild occasional achiness, someone can be concerned about. But yeah, I think it definitely could get a little bit achy from overworking, if you're working really fast. Noreen, my blood sugar is higher in the morning and gets lower as the day goes on. I may start at 111 and go down to 94. I do not have good sleep at night. So the good sleep at night, I read this one earlier. The sleep is definitely going to be impacting it. But if it's starting at 111 and going down, you have this early morning rise, and I would be looking at what the heck is going on overnight. Now, there's a number of reasons that you can have a higher glucose in the morning. Number one, it could be related to the fact that there was some stress in your life ages ago, right? Some stress that caused your cortisol to go up during the night, or go up during the early morning, and your cortisol goes up and then your blood sugar goes up as a result. It could be parasites, because sometimes parasites are real active overnight and they can cause the blood sugar, the cortisol to go up and then the blood sugar to go up. And then lack of good sleep, because you haven't had a really good solid sleep, you are going to have a higher blood sugar than you would normally. So work on the sleep. If you haven't been through module 4, which is the sleep one, go through it. And here's the thing. You can't just try one thing and say, nope, nothing works. You got to try it all. You got to try it in combination. You try a couple of things. You try increasing your melatonin naturally. There's a whole bunch of techniques for that. You keep doing that if it doesn't really change, but you add some of the other, maybe some of the herbs like lemon balm and passion flower and magnolia. Might try a little bit of phosphatidylserine, if there's, especially if it's a stress-related thing. And you just try adding these things until you get a response, and then you can back off one at a time to see which one you really need or which ones. It's usually a combination. Jessica, since puberty, I've been a night owl. Join the club, me too. Same as my parents and siblings. In the morning, it's difficulty waking up. Always had that since puberty vicious cycle. Somehow I only want to go to bed if I feel prepared for the coming day. So kind of like you worrying about it. Yeah, so it's, you're going to have to break the cycle. Sometimes, you know, this is not for everybody. It's not for the faint of heart. But sometimes people break the cycle by staying up late but not going to bed and staying up until the next night at, say, a reasonable hour like 9 o'clock and then going to sleep, and that oftentimes breaks it. But it is a challenge. Sometimes the challenge is really more psychological. You know, it's like I like to be up late. I got in that habit as a teenager, of course, because teenagers just like to stay up late and, you know, be on the phone with their friends and do their homework until the wee hours. But I also got in that habit when I had kids and I was trying to do my work. I'd get my kids to bed at 10 o'clock, and then I would start doing the work that took a lot of concentration, like writing and reading and recording things. So it's really a discipline. And just start with moving your bedtime back 15 minutes, just 15 minutes at a time. And you'll find that that can be very, very helpful. Lizita, I can do well for a few days eating well. Then I get a strong urge for high-carb foods such as chips, crackers, and can't stop for hours, including bedtime. How do I correct this? So a couple of ways you can do this is really sit with, what is that urge? Like, what's going on with that urge? Is that an old, Lynn, did you just add some stuff in above Rosita? Because I just see a bunch of stuff in here that you added, and it's above where I'm at, so we may have to go backwards. I can do well for a few days eating well, then I get a strong urge. Okay, so it depends on what that urge is. Is it emotional? So I'd sit with it, like, okay, I'm craving carbs. What is the feeling here, right? And now, you know, finding another way to satisfy that is super important. You could do things that will trick your body into thinking that it's, trick your body into thinking that it's actually carbs. So what you can do is, if you have a dehydrator, you use a dehydrator and then you make like crackers. I made the most delicious on the last Vital Healing Kitchen show. And Lynn, let's make sure that that recording and those recipes get posted once it's ready on the Vital, that on the Sweet Spot page that's got all the other recipe stuff. It's like food resources page or something. The recipe, I mean, those crackers were outstanding. It was my version of matzah. Now, it didn't taste like matzah. It tasted a hell of a lot better than matzah, because matzah doesn't have any taste. And it was so delicious. And it was a Brazil nut with flax seeds and chia seeds and hemp seeds and some veggies and I think zucchini in there. Oh, my God. They were, like, so good, so satisfying, like Triscuit-type crackers. So you can do that. You can make yourself some crackers like that. Now, the can't stop for hours is the vicious cycle that happens when you actually do the carbs. My guess is that if you've just made these other crackers, and there's a ton of other recipes in your recipe guide and on the pages, tons of recipes for crackers. And if you made those, you wouldn't have the strong urge to continue, because it's not setting up this carb thing that just creates that vicious cycle of insulin goes up and then it comes down and it goes up and down and then you can't stop eating. So I would give that a try. Okay, Elaine says, I put avocado and nuts in my big salad for lunch. I get hungry and craving an hour after eating the salad. So it may be that you need more. I don't know how much nuts and how much avocado. And it may be that you need more protein, something that has more protein in it. So check that out. Maybe you need some lentils in there. And it depends on what kind of nuts. So, see what's how much variety. Maybe add some cooked vegetables to your salad. For me, you know what fills me up and I just like can't eat much after that is zucchini, not zucchini, cauliflower. I'll cook a head of cauliflower and I'll either blend it up and make it into like a mashed potato. I just add a little bit of salt and maybe a pinch of coconut or flax oil to it, just a little bit. Or I steam up the whole head of cauliflower, I chop it up small, and then I make like a tahini dressing or a guacamole or something and sit there. So depends on how much you're eating. Write it down and track how many calories are in there and see if maybe it's just not enough food, Elaine. It may just not be enough food. Okay, so it looks like there's a bunch of others you added here, Elaine. I'm going to go backwards. I hope I don't repeat and I hope I don't miss anything. Margaret, I'm on day 21. My blood sugar is lowest at 4 to 4:30 p.m. Okay, and sometimes I'm super hungry. What does it mean? What can I do to extend the time I'm feeling satisfied between meals? Generally, it's adding more to the meal before and adding some extra fat or protein. So maybe with the meal before, like we're in this healing phase, and I'm not a big fan of protein powders forever, but when we're in a healing phase, the body may need more protein. Maybe your gut is healing. Maybe your liver just needs more to detox. So what you can do is add a little bit of extra protein to the meal before. If you're not vegetarian and you want to add a little bit of fish or some kind of free-range meat, or you want to add some hemp seeds, which can actually bring up the protein content of the meal, make sure you're eating tons of green that meal before because the greens have a lot of protein, and make sure you're getting enough fat in the meal before. Make sure you're getting enough fat because a lot of people err. They become fat phobic, and I don't mean to eat tons of fat. But, and I don't mean to eat oil unless you're very skinny. Okay. MCT oil actually though is an exception because MCT can be very therapeutic and it can actually take the edge off that. So if you're finding that there's certain times when you're feeling that craving or that really strong desire, then I would say try some MCT oil, like start with a quarter teaspoon and work your way up to a tablespoon. That can have a big effect too. Okay. I've read that. Okay. Oh, here's Denise. I have Raynaud's. Fingers almost always cold and difficult to get blood. However, even when I have enough blood on the strip, it rarely registers on the meter. I've gotten 5 readings out of 25 to 30 strips. Wow. My blood is body's very acidic. Could that be a problem? Sure. That can be a problem. It's circulation. So, what you want to do is you want to shake out your hands before you do it. So you're shifting blood there. You can do big arm circles with your arms to get blood flow into your hands. You can warm up your hands like on a hot pot or get a mug of tea and just warm your hands by holding it. I have this really cool mug. I absolutely love it. It's called a hugger. What is it called? A hugger mug? Anyway, I can't remember. It's a hugger, I think it is. And those of you who do pottery, you may want to see this. I'll take a picture of it and I'll post it. But it has this little, like, instead of a handle, it's got this little sleeve or lip that goes over and you stick your hand in it and you hold it while you have hot tea or hot water in there and it warms you up. So that's another way to do it. Niacin is a vasodilator. A little bit of niacin, like 100 milligrams, can actually be very helpful. It's good for your cardiovascular system as well and it'll cause some vasodilation. And then, let's see, I just lost it. Oh, the acidic, like really working on the acid-base balance, doing more heart math, potassium and magnesium. A lot of folks are taking magnesium, and it can throw off the potassium balance if you're low to start. So you may need to add some potassium, especially if you have some muscle cramps in your legs. And then the other thing might be it might be good to try the Gentil as the prober, the Lancet, because it tends to get more blood out. And are you sure you have good strips? You know, you've tried multiple, because sometimes there's just a bad box of strips and there's a lot of them bad in there. Okay, I think I got all of those. Okay, so I got all the questions up to the second Q&A. Then if I've missed any, go through them and just copy, you know, cut it out there and put it down below. Andrea, Monday 10, have virtually no appetite, lost 7 pounds, and beginning to feel weak. Have plant-based protein and AM, chia gel, and occasionally some fish. Should not be a lack of protein. Am exercising, sleeping okay? What can I do to get some more energy? Well, let's see how many days you're on. Day 10, here's the thing. That first 10 to 15, 17 days is when your body's doing some shifting. And so you may have some low energy before higher energy. I'll give you a few things to try, but know that it's common. You know, somewhere around day 10 even is very common to have a low energy and you want to bring it up. But here are some things you can do. Make sure you have enough fat in your meal. MCT oil might be a good thing. You're still, you know, if you're still wanting to lose more weight, just be careful in adding oil, but the MCT oil could be just like a teaspoon to a tablespoon, could be helpful. Elixirs. I love my elixirs. I think that, I don't know if they're in, we've posted them in the program itself, but I have some free elixir recipes. If you go to hormoneelixirs.com, and the adaptogens in there, so cordyceps mushroom, reishi mushroom, ashwagandha, all of these can be very, very helpful in helping you to get more energy and getting you through this hump. But make sure you're getting enough fat at your meals. But you're feeling satiated, so you just need to be able to make more energy, and I think you might be shifting from sugar burning into fat burning. Yeah. Diane, I don't think my questions went through. I'm repeating. I answered this one earlier, Diane. Maybe you stepped out to go to the bathroom or something. Might one expect our ketones and our leptin levels to improve with the sweet spot? Absolutely. Totally. Diane, which is healthier? I answered this one too, Diane. Which is healthier, eating raw nuts or seeds, or eating dehydrated nuts and seeds after soaking? Totally to eat the dehydrated after soaking. Okay, some more questions from the chat. Laura, I notice more fats I have I can't digest or other food sensitive to that under my eyes not only get puffy, that at the time they get red and turn to eczema. What do you think causes this and how to prevent it? It sounds like you're not digesting them real well and you're getting some putrefaction in your gut. So I would see if it's specific fats, Laura, or not. And I would comment down. Now, I don't know if you have your gallbladder. If you're missing a gallbladder, then it may be a problem. So what you want to do is really look at a really good digestive enzyme to help you break those foods down. So if you're having trouble with fats, there's one called LipoGold that I forget the brand name, but there's also Ness enzymes, and you get one that you can just get a lipase enzyme, and you can combine a general enzyme formulation, and we've listed several of them in your supplement guide. I like Transformation. Health Force Nutritionals has some. There's a number of companies that have them. Find the one you like the best. But then you also get a lipase, or alternately you get this digestive enzyme that has extra lipase in it. And I know one of them is called LipoGold. And you take that when you're having meals with more fat, you take the extra lipase. I honestly think it's better to get a general digestive enzyme and a separate lipase and take the lipase and then just gradually increase it till you find that you notice it. And you'll learn, oh, if I eat this much fat, then I make this much extra lipase. Now, you also want to stimulate the liver, gallbladder to produce. So things that get the movement of the bile, and those are called cholagogues. So one of the best cholagogues is actually bitters. And I have, oh, that's your next question. What brand for bitters? You put them under your tongue. You put them in your mouth. You swish them around. You do it about 10 to 15 minutes before each meal. That stimulates your own body to produce more stomach acid and secrete more of the bile. So brand, I like Herbalist and Alchemist. That's my favorite personal. Maybe I'm biased because David Winston, the formulator, is with my herbal teacher in my 2-year certification program. So I tend to like that one. Gaia has one as well, and a number of others. You can also not go opt for a brand of bitters, but you can actually just use some dandelion or arugula or some of the real bitter greens and just chew them around and allow your body to absorb. And you want to keep it in your mouth for a good 5 minutes. I mean, 2 minutes at the minimum, but 5 minutes would be great. What supplements do you recommend to digest fat better than ox bile? It's going to depend. If you have no gallbladder, the ox bile is going to be necessary. Some people who have sluggish gallbladders will need some ox bile. I always prefer to stimulate your own body to produce. And if you do take bitters to try to stimulate that, take some zinc along with it. It doesn't have to be at the exact same time, but make sure you're getting at least 30 milligrams of zinc in a day to help your body to make its own stomach acid, because that's going to make a huge difference as well. Yeah, and I've been craving more fats lately since I'm not having starch or grains. Yep. Ellen, I forgot to ask. My skin is a slight orange tint, very slight. I wonder if it's because of the high level of vegetables. It depends. Now, the way to differentiate between extra beta carotene in your skin, which will cause it to go slightly orange, and a bilirubin buildup from gallbladder liver congestion, which, you know, you look in the whites of your eyes. If the whites of your eyes are getting orange, then it might be the liver. For most people, when you start to eat lots of extra vegetables, you start to turn a little bit orange. I did that when I started eating this way years ago, and I love it that I have more color to my skin. I used to be pale and pasty and all that. But I did find out that I have a genetic SNP that I don't convert all of my beta carotene or a sufficient amount into vitamin A. So beta carotene is a precursor to vitamin A, and you can have this genetic SNP that you're inefficient at converting it. Not a big deal if you eat tons of it because you're still going to have plenty, but I personally take maybe once a month I take some vitamin A and just to make sure, but those are the things it could mean. Noreen, what do you mean 3 to 4 weeks blood sugar be consistent? Mean it should be below 110, yeah, and not go, well, the 20, yeah, and not go above 20 points for the fasting if it's above 110. So if you're consistently, your fasting is in the 80s, say, or even low 90s, then you want to keep it below 110 consistently. Now, if once or twice it goes above 110 to 120, I wouldn't be concerned about it. But if it goes up to much higher levels and does that more than once or twice during that period, then you may just have to go a little bit further, and you should definitely be keeping it consistent. Go into the transition part of the metabolic reset, and you'll read all about it. Very specific. I have a video, and I have a paper on it. Kathy, I thought I was doing so well in the morning with my gut rejuvenator green powder drink with pea protein and a smoothie, and my yesterday... In your new Vitamix, yay! Following the recipe you posted on Facebook for Marsha and me. And I went up to 115. Do I need to start over? You don't need to start over. I'm not sure what recipe you're talking about. Like, was it with the ginger and the turmeric? Is that what you mean? Do it again. Whenever you get a higher reading, just do it a second time and make sure it's really high. Do it a third time if you're not sure. And do it again, but look to see what's in it. Did you put red bell pepper? Did you put tomato? Like, what would be the higher starchy foods in there? And just start shifting it and playing with it, and know you don't need to start over. Not at 115. These are not precision instruments. So a little bit above, I'm not worried about. I give you the 110 so that if it does occasionally go into the 115 to 120 range, you have a little bit of fudge factor, but I don't want you to target for that. I want you to target for the 110. Lauren, I'm following the program. Not sure where you went, but back off if you have liver pain. Back off would be if you're doing, okay, what do I mean? If you have liver pain, are you, Lauren, the same Lauren that mentioned that you had some lower left side bowel pain as well, that you were concerned about it? So what it means is, okay, you want to give your liver the support it needs to actually get rid of the toxins it's mobilizing. So what I mean by it's either back off. So say you're going on a real strict, like if you're on a strict detox and drinking juices, I would say, okay, let's have some solid food. So I don't know what exactly you're eating. So I don't know exactly how, exactly what's going on, but the liver is working at this. So I would say, number one, castor oil pack on your liver. See if that works, because that actually supports the liver and helps it do its job. Number two, you can add some herbs to help it to eliminate. So number one, number two, you want to make sure that your bowels are moving 2 to 3 times a day. And if they're not, you may be recycling some of those toxins that the liver is producing, and then it's having to detoxify them again. So make sure you keep your bowels moving. And castor oil packs work beautifully. Eat some milk thistle. Like, get some milk thistle seeds, grind them up, and add them to some smoothies or some foods, or get a tincture of milk thistle to just support the liver in handling the extra load, and see if those things help. Elaine said, I tried lentils, really spiked my sugar, and so did white beans. Yeah, so you're sensitive to the starch. So even though those are more of a soluble fiber and has protein in it, you're still sensitive to the starch. So try the MCT oil. Sounds good. Jessica, taking notes but forgot. What is the cause of high blood sugar in the morning? Stress early in life and then to it. Okay, so it could be the stress that, and it could be parasites. And what was the third one? Parasites, stress, what was the third thing I said? Waking up in the middle of the night because you're, raises your sugar. Oh, and poor sleep. Poor sleep. Edina, the things that I listed for sleep, yes, in the sleep module, module 4, there is a list of all the different sleep supplements. There may not be exact amounts, but there could be ranges of amounts. And if there aren't, like for the herbs, because it depends on what form of the herb you get, whether you drink it as a tea, you get it as a tincture, you get it as a powder, you get it as a capsule. So I would just gauge it to start with whatever the recommendation is on the particular form you get on the bottle. Kathy says, I take the magnesium citrate in the morning and bisglycinate for muscle cramps. How much magnesium oxide can I take at night to reduce constipation? Well, not a big fan of magnesium oxide, with the exception there's one called Cleanse, OxyCleanse or something like that, that does tend to work real well. I'd rather see you do citrate. I just think it's absorbed better. And, I would say how much it's going to be to your bowel tolerance. So I would look in the module on nutrition in the advanced stuff. There's a magnesium load document and it tells you how to gradually increase. So I would take, you did take 1500 milligrams and it seemed to help. If that helped, good. But if you keep doing 1500, your body may say, oh, I don't need that much anymore, and it'll get diarrhea. So you just back it off. So 1500 is great. You're doing a magnesium load. Keep watching it. If you start to get looser and looser stools throughout the day, then cut it back. But if you've had issues with constipation, then that's probably not too much at all. Laura says, I have my gallbladder, have SIBO, lipo gold doesn't work for me. Yeah. So, then don't go with lipo gold. Find a lipase and take that along with some of the other just to find a good digestive enzyme that works for you. Simple one is Digest from Transformation. I like that a lot. I've seen over the years with clients and patients, I've seen people who have been on other brands and then they took that and they just started to feel much better. Jessica said, I read a scientific article that pea protein can contain lots of pesticides or heavy metals. Yeah, so be careful. Get an organically grown one from a reputable source. Everything can have lots of pesticides, and everything can be contaminated with metals. You just have to be really, really careful. Marlene, do you know if the Libre in, is it accurate? Yeah, so the Libre is it's a continuous glucose meter, and you put the little patch on your arm. It's got a little cartridge, and it has got a meter that it monitors it. It's kind of like a little mini cell phone or a meter, and you don't have to keep poking your finger. It's a continuous readout. Who've used it, I think the best person to answer that question would be Annette. I don't know, Annette, if you're on the call, if you can raise your hand, I'll open up your line, or Lynn can look for it and open up your line, because Annette has a daughter who's tried that one and also the other one that was before that, which was the first continuous glucose meter. And are they accurate? I probably, but here's the thing, they're not readily available here. So I tried to get them. I mean, when I first looked at them, they were like $600. And then the little cartridges, which last 2 weeks to a month, cost about $200. I mean, very expensive because they're ripping off insurance companies. Let me just be real honest about it, because it's prescription only. So the insurance companies pay for it for diabetics. So if you can get your doctor to prescribe it, which you probably won't unless you're diabetic, then you can get it covered by your insurance. But here's the thing. I don't know how accurate. I mean, I don't know how to gauge it. You'd have to gauge it next to, like, go to the doctor, have them take your blood and see. But Annette may know better if she's been on here. That's it. And how do I feel about lectin-containing foods? It's, it depends. Like, if your gut is messed up and you're not handling them, and everything contains lectins. Lectins are markers that the foods produce to keep away predators. And every food has it. I mean, some foods have more than others. And so, you know, some lectins can be very helpful. I think that whenever, I don't like demonizing a specific group of food. it's all about you. It's all about you testing and seeing and using a variety of foods and finding the ones that don't work for you and leaving them out. Brandon, blend one head of cauliflower with one teaspoon of hemp seeds, juice of a half a lemon, a bit of basil, and sea salt to taste. It's the best version of Alfredo sauce. Holy cow. Okay, I'm going to read this slowly. I don't know if this was in the questions or if this was in the chat, but Lynn, if it's not in the chat, let's put it there. Brandon, thank you. A head of cauliflower, a teaspoon of hemp seeds. And is this raw or is this cooked, Brandon? Probably doesn't matter. It's probably if you digest cooked better than do cooked, and if you digest raw better, do that. So it's a head of cauliflower, a teaspoon of hemp seeds, juice of a half a lemon, a bit of basil, and sea salt to taste. Wow. Sounds amazing. Yes, the Lauren gets both left and right side pain. I'd like to know. Brandon said cooked cauliflower. Great. Thank you. Lauren says both left and right and goes on. So you had mentioned that it was when you started to do more raw. So I would say, Lauren, just go for like a week, 3-5 days to a week of just cooking everything. Don't do raw and see if that settles it down. You may have some irritation. And maybe it's not even your liver. Maybe it's actually in your colon, your ascending transverse and lower colon, the descending colon, right? So how I would track this, Lauren, track it on your chart. When does it come on? See if there's a specific time, like after specific foods that it comes on. Track how long it lasts. Track the intensity of it. And track whether they're happening at the same time or if it's happening at different times. So keep a really good log of it in your journal and we can take a look at it, okay? She's doing pastor oil packs, doing bowels 3 times a day. Yeah. So it, like you mentioned in the Facebook post that it seemed to be after you started doing more raw. So I would switch back to mostly cooked and then just gently ease into the raw. You may just have a bowel irritation, right? And you may also have low stomach acid because if you're not breaking down the cellulose and you're not digesting, a lot of people when they eat more fiber, they feel worse because of the stomach acid. So some of those things with the bitters, and I think you asked some questions about the bitters. All right, I think I made it through all those questions, and I'm going to go to the next phase, which is to go to see whose hands are up. Oh, we got a ton. Oh, no. I'm going to put the hands down, and now I want you to raise your hands if you have questions, because Maya has hers up. I had asked you a question earlier, and not many of you answered, so I'm bummed that only a few of you answered that you were ready to go. So really look at life and how you live life and living it fully, right? Participating fully, because you're going to get the best results when you participate fully. So we have Maya, Annette. I'm going to open up. Oh, no, it's a different Annette. Annette Nelson? Okay. Different Annette. Tiffany and Thomas. So I'm going to open up Maya and then Annette and then Tiffany and then Thomas Mervin. Maya, howdy.
Hi. Glad I snuck in before the small group call starts. Let's see. It's so interesting that at the beginning of the call, you were talking about neuroplasticity, because just the last like week and a half ago, I started a program called Dynamic Neural Retraining System with Annie Popper. So I don't know if she was part of the conference that you did, but I'm curious if you have any nuggets or gems that you can share of maybe exercises that we can do specifically to help our blood sugar.
Yeah, so there's a couple of ways you can approach this, right? You can approach it from the standpoint of body exercises. You can also approach it from the standpoint of brain exercises, like brain gym type of things. And it's
I thought it was a combination of like physical movement with the thought process.
Right. So one of the things I know that works really well is cross crawl, right? And you know, cross crawl is where you're standing in place, but you're, so you're lifting your left leg as if you're walking and bend your knee and then your right arm and then you do the other way. So you're lifting
up. No, but standing.
Yeah, so you're standing up.
Okay.
You can do it lying down on your back if you want to, but it's recreating that cross-crawl patterning in your brain. And you can get some aerobic with that if you do it fast, but you have to work on balance to do that. So that's one way. But there's any number of these brain gym exercises, and that's not my area of expertise. We're actually going to bring Maria Horseman, who a lot of you met on the bonus calls. Some of you didn't. She said she only did about 58 people actually showed up for those calls. So there's a lot more than 58 of you in the program. So she's going to share with you some other ways that you can tap into that over the next couple of months. But she and I discussed this. We brainstormed about this today, and we're going to actually do, I think it's on May 9th, we're going to do a bonus call. I think it's going to be on Facebook Live, but we're going to do this bonus on brain and body exercises to reduce blood sugar, keep your body and your brain fit, and the effects of exercise on neuroplasticity. So it's going to be a really hot call, and she's the expert on the exercise piece.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just do what she tells me to do. Sorry.
Great. Yeah, no, I mean, I was just thinking about things to do, not quote unquote exercise per se.
Yeah, crawl, so, and then look up brain gym exercises. There is actually a book called Brain Gym. And a lot of those are phenomenal. And this neuroplasticity through the brain exercises is phenomenal. It has research on it. I'm not one that memorizes all the stats. I have to go back to my notes and pull out the actual stats, but there are a lot of stats on the effectiveness of that for blood sugar balance.
Okay. Yeah. Cause a friend of mine who also signed up for the course, she ran into a friend she hadn't seen for quite a while that had some major health issues, and with like 6 months of doing this work, she's completely changed her symptoms and her health.
Great.
So I'm excited. Okay.
It's huge piece of it. So just go with if you signed up for the program, they're probably going to go into it with you. So go with it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Thanks.
Okay.
Great.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Sure.
Bye. There's so much we can do. There's so much that empowers us to take charge of our health. You know, based on years ago when I was back in my 20s and looking for solutions, and there was nothing. There wasn't. And now there's just like so much research that's been done and so many things we can all do. So Annette, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Nelson was my married name.
Same Annette, yes.
It is the same Annette. Yes, it is. So I believe the question was, does the Libre work? Am I correct?
Yeah.
Okay. When my daughter tried the Libre, it was right before the FDA approved it for patient use. So you could only get it from a endocrinologist. So she had it, and because it wasn't released to the public yet, the doctor put it on her, and it can last for up to 14 days. Hers was taken off at 10 days, and yes, it was accurate, but she didn't have the reader. So it really provided her no information until we went back to
the
endo's office.
Oh, the doctor had the reader. Okay, got it. Yes.
But now that the FDA has approved it for patients, you would get that reader.
Yes.
So, but she still prefers the Dexcom, which is, you know, by prescription. And the Dex is approved for 7 days, but a lot of diabetics wear them for anywhere 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks.
Okay.
She finds the Dex to be a lot easier to work with. The Libre, you don't calibrate it. You just put it on.
Yeah.
When
you say calibrate, you mean do a finger prick to see how they compare?
Right.
Or do a blood draw to see how they compare?
Yeah. There's no pricks are required with the Libre. Dexcom, the G5, which is what she has, the G5, you're supposed to check it and calibrate it twice a day with a finger prick.
Oh.
But she likes that because sometimes they're wrong.
Mm.
And, you know, with any gadget, sometimes they're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So the fact that she finger pricks and can tell the decks, no, you're wrong. I'm not 200. I'm only 120 or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
She couldn't do that. You can't do that with the Libre.
Okay.
I guess at some point it corrects itself. So, you know,
but you could compare it. If you're not sure of a reading, you could do
right.
the finger prick and say, wait a minute.
You can do a finger prick. But you have to wait for the Libre to, I guess, to self-adjust. And there's a couple more that are coming out
on
the market. Medtronic has just got approved, and I actually think that will end up being better than Dex. Libre doesn't have alarms for when you go high or low. The Dexcom does. But if you're just wanting it, you know, to monitor blood sugar for, like, in this program, you probably don't need the alarms.
Yeah, but you can't get it. I tried. I keep trying to get it. I looked, like I said, a while back I looked and I was able to get pricing, but never find a place where I could. I wanted to just order the bloody thing and I couldn't
find
it.
They keep saying it's going to be available and I've
never seen it.
And I hear even with insurance, people are struggling to get it.
Mm. Well, I heard that from Stephanie, who's in our program, who's in NEPT, and she's in France. And she said, oh, you can buy them here. They're 50 pounds, and the replacement things are 50 pounds as well. So I'm like, well, if it's available all through Europe, I'm leaving on Thursday for Italy.
Yeah, you pick some up.
I'm going to see if I can get a few.
Yeah. So, you know, for a true diabetic, I think the Dexcom's better. I think the Medtronic will even be better than Dex. If you're just wanting to keep an eye on things, the Dexcom, you can feed it to your Apple Watch or to your iPhone.
Oh.
And Libre doesn't do that. You have to have their reader.
Their reader.
To see it. Expensive. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So. Well, that's good to know. Thank you. Yeah. So
sure.
I keep waiting for these to be, like, commercially available and relatively reasonably priced so that we could use them, especially for people who don't like to prick. And I'd like to just do a continuous because there's times when I just want to go and look and see what my stats are. But that'll be soon in the future.
Somebody posted they're starting to see them in CVS stores.
The Libre?
The Libre, yeah.
Really?
I've seen those posts in some of the diabetic groups.
Okay, cool. Well, look in your CVS stores, guys, and see if you find them. I'll look while I'm over in Europe and see if I can find it there. We'll ask Allison. She's probably not on the call today because it's so late, but I'll ask Allison, too, if she knows anything about it. Over there. Great. Thank you, guys. Or thank you, Annette.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Bye.
All right. So, Tiffany. Hi, Tiffany. I haven't talked to you in a while. Hi.
Hi. I haven't talked to you in a long time. Thank you for keep doing these programs. I think it's my third year, and little by little, I'm getting smarter and I'm getting better. So, it's really exciting.
Good for you.
But my question today is I've been keeping my blood sugar low. I've had a few stress things, like you eating the candy bar without the candy bar. Mine didn't go that high, but I just had some issues that I was uptight about. But my question is I recently got hives, and I realized they're high histamine.
Yeah.
So I've been on a low histamine diet, which knocks out citrus. And I love my gut rejuvenator in the morning, so I've just been drinking water because it says peppermint too, no peppermint tea. And I think that may be because there's no tea, and I would imagine that there is something with the dried leaves that they don't want you to have.
Yeah, I don't think it's the oil. Like the peppermint oil, which is what we usually use, is probably fine.
But that's what I use too.
Yeah. Yeah, and the lemon oil, same
okay.
thing. You can probably do the lemon oil as well. Yeah, and here's the thing. Do it for a while, go on the low histamine, and then gradually increase, you know, just test things out because it doesn't mean it's forever.
Right.
And it doesn't mean that all of those foods are going to trigger you equally.
Yeah.
You could use a little apple cider.
That's kind of what, you know, I've read. It's like 30 days and then test them back. But
yes.
It's knocked out, obviously, a lot of things that I eat. I think my biggest one is nuts and nut butter. And I was roasting the nuts because I have a friend who has fresh walnuts, and I got a bunch of them and froze them, and I roast them. And then put them in the blender and make a nut butter. And I've also got fresh hazelnuts. I've done the same thing and, you know, just kind of even made a mixed nut butter. But I was putting that in smoothies and eating it, and they're evidently extremely high in histamines.
Mm.
So I'm just looking for suggestions of what to eat, or if you have lists you can recommend, because I keep pulling up lists and they're conflicting, so I'm really not sure.
There's a lot of conflicts, first of all. First of all, you just have to go and be really clean and eliminate like almost everything for 4 or 5 days just to keep your system. If you have to eat just butternut squash for 5 days, eat butternut. You know what I'm saying? Well, butternut squash, probably not
a good idea.
Program, but you know what I mean.
No, I know.
And then you just allow yourself to increase and check it out. I'm not a big fan of roasted nuts because it causes fatty acid oxidation when you heat the nuts above 118.
Oh.
So be careful about that.
Well, I was going to say, I do it on the lowest heat possible. I think it's 150 degrees.
Okay. Well, it might be okay, but I would say you're better off.
But, yeah.
It, you know, and
for
then
the dehydrator.
The open, yeah, and do it in the dehydrator. Yeah, soak them and then do them that way. That's much better. But that said, I mean, if you're looking for that same consistency as the nut butter, what about seed butters? I don't think the seeds are high in histamine.
No. It said no nuts and no seeds. I can have chia, flax. I found one list online. It was the gal from Australia, and she did a lot of research. And she had a list, you know, of what to stay on. So I still do the chia seeds, and I do some flax seeds, but that's about it.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. If you're looking for that fat, coconut is not high in histamine. Neither are avocados, as far as I know.
No.
Low histamine chef is a good one for a good. She's done a lot of research. We know her.
That might be her.
So I know she's
that might be the one I'm using. It sounds
maybe
familiar.
Australia. She's maybe low histamine diet, which we avoid. Yeah, so you are going to see different lists. And I would say, you know, the obvious ones that you're seeing on all the lists are going to be the ones that you're most concerned about. You may do like 7 days off of all of them, and it's not that hard to do for 7 days.
No,
see if you get better. If everything comes down, then you go ahead and you increase and you do a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. Low histamine foods, meats and egg, fresh fruits, fresh vegetables with the exception of tomatoes, according to this. So all your vegetables are fine.
And,
coconut milk, most leafy herbs. Most non-citric fruit juices or fruits. A high histamine would be alcohol, pickled or canned, mature cheeses and smoked meat and shellfish, beans, so chickpeas.
Yeah, I don't do that stuff, but it is mostly
walnuts and cashews as problem.
Pardon?
This one just lists walnuts and cashews as the problematic ones.
That one list I was using said cashews were the lowest one. So, you know, I've just been avoiding when there's conflict, I just avoid it. And, I've been doing the coconut milk. I've been doing a lot of smoothies with greens, coconut milk, and a little bit of apple. You know, all of them kind of say apple's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So do that. And then just, you know, you don't have to go a full 30 days. If it's like, if there's foods that everybody agrees on, definitely go the full 30 days.
Yeah.
For the ones where there's a confusion, go 7 days and then pick the one you're missing the most and try it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And try small.
So what would you look for? I mean, I was really itching and had bumps, and I also found a thing online to, make like a paste with some clay and lavender oil and different other oils, and that does take the sting out, and then put a little, wash it off and put a little lavender oil and jojoba oil, and then, you know, it's keeping it down. So
now
I'm just going to wait till it's totally cleared up.
Wait till it's totally cleared. Did this come on like one time? Or did this come on?
I've never had it before. But reading on the histamine thing, I have rosacea, and reading some of the other things, I suspect I had it a long time, and my father had rosacea. He died young, so I don't know what complications he might have gotten into. But I suspect it's been there but never bubbled over before.
Right. Right. So, yeah, so if it's there and you have that tendency, you know, there's some gut issues probably to, you know, healing your gut makes that difference. Quercetin is an amazing bioflavonoid that you can take to bring down the histamine reaction. 500 milligrams three times a day. Quercetin, Q-U-E-R-C-I-T-I-N. And there are genetic tendencies, right? There's this DAO SNP, and there's a couple of others that would tendency. There are also DAO enzymes available, but every single one of them is total crap. They have shellac and sucrose in them. Yeah, and I just talked to one of the manufacturers who was at this show, and I said, what's the deal? She says, you know what? It's one thing we don't make. We actually get it, and it's the only one place we can get it from. So somebody has the deal with it, and nobody else, I don't know. I don't understand it. But they're all, so I don't recommend it. Some people do get results from it, and if it's really desperate, where you can't get results any other way, you do it for a little bit, and you suck it up, and you deal with the shellac and the sucrose for a little bit. But if it starts to throw your blood sugar off because of the sucrose, then you're in another problem. So I'm always with the trying to solve a problem with the thing that's going to provide the best balance throughout. So I would go ahead and do quercetin, vitamin C, as much as you can tolerate of vitamin C, and the quercetin, and those things can help bring it down. I've done things with people when they've broken out in hives and gotten them to get rid of their hives in hours by putting them on high-dose quercetin and vitamin C, and then I'd make a paste with flax oil because it's anti-inflammatory, with lavender oil and stuff like that, and put it on. And then even castor oil can be helpful.
And what was the last oil?
Castor oil.
Capture?
Castor, C-A-S-T-O-R.
Castor. Oh, castor.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can either put it on, or you can make a little castor oil pack and just rub it around the area that has the rash.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that gives me a second one. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the redness and the bumps are disappearing. It still itches at times, but it seems to be middle of the night and stuff like that. And then during the day, you know, I almost don't even know I have it. So I can see that it's changing.
It's changing.
It's not getting worse. Yeah.
So take a dose of vitamin C and a dose of quercetin at bedtime.
Okay. 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 I'll do that. All right. Thank you so much. And again, thank you for continuing to do this education because I just keep learning and expanding. So thank you.
That's what it's all about. We all need to be empowered about our own health because the system out there is broken and they don't have solutions. They just have Band-Aids. And the more you know, the more you try, the more you find natural root cause solutions, the better you're going to be. So thank you.
Yep. Thank you. Bye. Okay. Bye-bye.
All right, so now we have Thomas Mervin, which I know isn't Thomas. It's somebody else, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Who is it?
It's Mona. How are you?
Mona, that's right. Mona. I was like, yeah, Mona. I know I recognize that. Like, yeah, I'm just not as good anymore as I used to be at remembering all the aliases because there's just too
darn
many.
You have a lot of names.
They're all aliases, that's the problem. You know, I know Brandon and I know Ellen and Judith because they show up, but then some of these darn people, like Beatrice never shows up at Beatrice. It shows up with her husband's name, but I've seen her name for 7 years, so I know who it is.
Well, that's what the deal is. It's my husband's name. So,
your husband's name.
Okay, I've got just a couple of questions, and you addressed it earlier, but I was trying to be a little bit more specific about the magnesium. I had a question of, give me an idea about a ratio of potassium to magnesium when you're doing a lot of magnesium?
That's a good question, and I wish I knew. I don't. I oftentimes start with potassium at 99 milligrams. I start with magnesium at 400. So maybe it's a 4-to-1.
4-to-1, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because we're good. I'm doing quite a bit, and I'm also giving quite a bit to Shay, so I just want to make sure. And I know I'm having muscle cramps, and she's taking a whole lot more than I am, but she can't tell me that she's having muscle cramps. So that's why I wanted to try to get some kind of ratio.
Yeah, so if you're having muscle cramps, look at the ratio you're doing now and increase the potassium.
Okay, I'll do it. And then on the foods, like I know you've been talking a lot. I think I know the answer, but I want to just make sure. So, like, if you're getting really, really gassy and bloated with a lot of the different foods that we're consuming, the it seems like everything, chia seed, hemp seed, a lot of the vegetables. I mean, is all of that, are you thinking low stomach acid still with those things? That's kind of what I was thinking.
Well, the low stomach acid, it could be low bile production. It could be an irritated lining of the gut. It could be your meals are too complicated and it's hard. Maybe it's one or two of those, but you're eating them in combination, so it's kind of hard to pull out. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
So you might want to just try a few mono meals or, just try like before you eat. How long does it take to get the bloating? Is it right away, within 2 hours?
Well, I mean, there's always a lot of bloating right away, but then, like, for the gassy stuff, gosh, sometimes 3 or 4 hours maybe.
Okay, so if the bloating's happening right away, then I would say you could easily tell by just separating your meal into just eating the one. And do it for yourself, obviously, and if it works for you, then you can try it with your daughter. But do one food. Right? Do two things, whatever. See how it goes. If they don't give you bloating, but if everything you eat gives you bloating, good chance that there's some SIBO going on.
Okay.
Right. And take digestive enzymes with everything you eat.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
Okay.
Okay. See you on tomorrow's call. All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Florence. Hi, Florence.
Dr. Rita Marie, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. I just moved away from the computer.
Yeah, I heard you. It sounded like you were across the room. Good. I'm glad you're back.
I'm glad I made it back. I just have two quick questions about, I was curious what your thoughts are on when I make crackers. I've been tending to just not mix too many things. Earlier you were saying I could, I'll do one nut and something else, but you can mix nuts and seeds and many different kinds of nuts and seeds, it sounds like, together?
You could, but if you have 10-sensitive digestion, I would stick with what you're doing. Make your crackers. If you want to add an extra nut or seed, you can, and then if you want to add other vegetables. But a real simple cracker could be one seed, a real simple, easy to digest, zucchini, mm-hmm. maybe a little Brazil nut, because, man, does that give it a good texture, plus it's loaded with selenium, which is important for thyroid function, and then some kind of seasonings. And that would make an amazing cracker. So, just play with it, right? If you're tired of the same old, or you want to have variety, you can either do a bunch of single seed crackers and just see which ones feel best, taste best, or you can just mix them up and see. But you want to just don't go crazy and add 17 nuts and 14 vegetables, and then maybe throw your digestion off.
Okay. And what do you think of the ground flaxseed meal that, already comes?
Don't buy it. It's oxidized. Don't buy it.
Okay.
No, if you're going to make flaxseed, a flaxseed meal should be made fresh, or if you make it fresh and you can't eat it right away, you put it in an airtight, opaque container and stick it in the freezer.
Oh, okay. And, great. And then just to recap on that, did you say zucchini, Brazil nuts, and some seasonings?
I've done zucchini. The ones I liked the most were, it's a little bit more complicated, but it was zucchini, Brazil nut, a tiny bit of flaxseed ground, and then the recipes on, I did it on, I don't remember the exact proportions. I actually can't remember recipes until I have the food there, and then I know intuitively how much to put in. It's kind of crazy, but... So it was zucchini, Brazil nut, flax seed, hemp seed, and chia seed. Just a little chia gel just to hold it together, plus seasonings. Those crackers were, like, so good. So good.
Since you talked about it earlier.
Yeah, they were so good. And the recipe, I think it should be up on the Vital community by now.
Okay. I'll check it. Yeah. Playing around, I found the dehydrator, which if anybody's, I know people are thinking of getting it. It's really forgiving. It's easy to, work with. making things, you know, this raw food way of preparing things. It's, you know, pretty flexible, forgiving.
Yep.
For the most part. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. You could do the clean out the fridge. I've done this before where I would just, like, I've done a class and there's all kinds of scraps of stuff left over, a few nuts and seeds that are soaked and a few veggies and stuff. And I just throw them all in the food processor to make a dough, and then I spread it out on the lining of the trays. The one thing that I found, too, is if you ever make a nut or seed cheese and you're like, whoa, I made too much and, you know, we're leaving town tomorrow, you throw it in the dehydrator and it makes these amazing cheese crackers that are like melting your mouth. They're not crispy. They will break apart, but so delicious. So delicious.
Yeah, it's a wonderful. I'm so happy to be learning all these, you know, different ways of cooking, I guess, uncooking or whatever, preparing food.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah. Yeah, great way to travel with veggies and stuff, too, because that's what we're going to do to go overseas. We're going to have these 12-hour flights, and I could either fast or I could bring some stuff. And depending on whether I have the time to do it, I will either fast or bring some stuff along. Yeah.
Right.
Thank you.
And when you do your protein powder stuff, you do it occasionally, right, for yourself?
I do it occasionally. I mostly do it when I travel. So I did it twice when I was away because it was like, oh, there's no good food here right now. So let me grab a protein powder.
Right.
I did on the airplane yesterday. What's that?
Sorry. Do you just kind of mix it with any kind of nut milk, or do you use water?
Oh, I just use water. So I was traveling yesterday, and my class let out, and I had to make a two-hour drive to the airport, and I was planning to stop at the Whole Foods that's not too far from the airport, but I got there, and it was too late, and I had to go right to the airport. And there was not a whole no choice at the Fort Lauderdale Airport. I mean, not even – sometimes I can get, like, some Blue Diamond nuts or something, or, you know, something. There was nothing. So I just pulled out my protein powder and a green powder, and I had them in the little mini packets. And I stuck them in a bottle. Like, it was really hard getting it in because it was a narrow-mouthed plastic bottle that I bought at the airport. And I just poured the powders in, put the water in, shook it up, and drank it. It was good. It's fine.
Okay. Yeah. I guess you can do it while we're traveling, huh?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's not like you need to have, you know, gourmet flavors every moment of every day, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And then when I got back, I landed. It was a little later than I wanted it to be because the flight was 2 hours late, but it was 7:30. And we went out to this really cool local restaurant called The Beer Plant. It's actually a plant-based restaurant that sells, that does organic beer and wine. Well, I don't drink. My husband didn't drink. But we went in there, and they had – I got this really great Korean broccoli and a kale salad and – cream of broccoli soup made with coconut milk. It was like I didn't have to go home and cook. I had this amazing meal, and it was very satisfying. So
sounds good, yeah. Oh, great. Yeah. Well, thank you very much for everything you
do
for us.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
All right. Wendy and then Liette from Ontario. Hi, Wendy. From Costa Rica. Oh, wow. Good for you. Wendy, you there?
Hello?
Wendy, say hi. I hear you. There you are. Hi. Wendy? I hear you. Oh, boy. And Liette just disappeared. Okay, Wendy. I think we had a problem with you before. You might have to turn up your volume on your computer because you're on the web call. She's there. Do you hear her, guys? You hear her, right? Lynn, you hear her. She's moving around, but I don't know if she hears me. What happened? All right, so let me go back to, I'll leave it open. This happened the other time. I think Wendy had raised her hand once before in the last time we were on. I'm going to go back to... Oops, where'd it go? My questions, 416. Yep, I hear you moving around, Wendy. Hello? All right, let me go back to the bottom of this again and see. Nope, we're at the end. I don't see any more. Oh, Andrea. My nose keeps running lightly daily. Rosita, is it natural if the body is changing? Yeah, it depends. It was your nose running before, I would ask. Is it constant? It's just running. Is there any color to the discharge? Is it just clear or white versus green or yellow? And, yeah, I mean, sometimes that happens, but it might be that you've introduced a food that your body's having a reaction to. So monitor it, look at the timing, look at the intensity, see if it changes. And sometimes as a cleansing response, the body will produce extra mucus secretions. Andrea, if I drink a green smoothie in the morning and feel full with all the liquid and then start to test blood, then an hour later want chia porridge to finish breakfast, does that throw everything off? How long can I draw out a meal? Yeah, if you really want to have a little bit more, I mean, they're good foods. They're not very high insulinogenic foods. I mean, the ideal is to eat it together, but if you can't, then spread it. But I wouldn't go more than just spreading an hour later because that could, you know, it just kind of keeps the insulin going all day, even if it's low grade. All right, that's all I have for questions. I think we're done then. Thank you everybody for being here. Oh, I see Marcia, you came on. I answered your question earlier. If you have any other questions, raise your hand. I think I talked about you too earlier, but I don't remember what I said. I did read your questions and you said you weren't going to be on. So listen right at the beginning. It was pretty close to the beginning. Okay. Lynn, are there any other questions that I've missed? I'm just looking at your chart. Let me open you. Lynn?
Yep, I'm here.
Any other questions?
I'm just double checking here. A lot of people are saying have fun. There was something I had just read about earlier in the week, and I had shared on it here when Tiffany was talking about the nut butters. It's called the Ramon seed, and it's supposed to be good for people who maybe can't handle tree nuts and things like that. Mm. It's low glycemic, but it has a sweet taste to it.
Mm. Ramon, R-A-M-O-N?
Correct.
Huh.
It's the seed of a fruit, so it's not a tree nut, but
right.
It's considered low glycemic. It says it has twice the amount of calcium as corn, quinoa, and oats. It's high in fiber and high in potassium. So... Mm.
Wonderful. The other one is peely nut. Peely nut. That's what Marcia had posted on. Peely nuts they have this buttery flavor to them.
Yeah.
High fat, low carb. Check them out and see. And then the link that Marcia had posted on the Facebook group was a sprouted peely nut. So it might be really good.
Yeah, I can see. Yeah, it's for people who are listening, it's P-I-L-I.
Yeah.
You can get them from Thrive Market.
And check the Facebook group because
posted.
I'd never seen that link before with the sprouted. They were organic and sprouted. I'm going to order some when I get back. And what about the Ramon seeds? Where do you get them, Lynn?
Oh, let me go back.
Post the link?
No, I didn't because I didn't want to do it unless you said it was okay.
I never heard of it, so I'll check it out. We'll all check it out if anybody sees any downside to it, but I kind of trust your judgment if it's low glycemic and,
and
they're raw.
Yeah. See, that's Roche. Let me see here.
Yeah.
I'll find the link and
you post it. You can add it to the chat and we can, it'll be in the chat and then we could also add it to the Facebook group. Let's see.
Here, I found a link. It's from what do you call it? Amazon, but anyway.
Oh,
and nuts.com also has the peely nuts.
What? You just posted caffeine. Worldwide Botanicals caffeine?
Oh, no. That's just what's in the link. It's caffeine free.
Oh, caffeine free. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Everybody's telling me to have a good time.
I pulled it up really quick. This is roasted. Never mind. Because you can add it to, like, a beverage. So you can use it instead of, like, a dandelion and,
okay.
Like, dandelion tea and stuff like that.
We'll look into it. I just, high-fat foods, you know, roasted, I have a little bit of a concern with.
This is supposed to be zero fat. It's a zero fat.
Oh, it's zero fat. So what is it? If it's, I'll look at it. I'll look at it before. Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. So thank you, everybody. I'm going to Italy, and the reason I'm going there is my son's been in grad school since September there, and we're going to go visit him. And then London, I'm going to be in London, so whoever's in London, you can come see me speak. I'm going to be speaking next Tuesday, like a week from tomorrow, and I'll post the link tomorrow to see if anybody's around and wants to come see me. It's at a really cool restaurant. So thank you so much, and we'll talk to you again soon. Bye. And Lynn will take good care of you while I'm gone. There's going to be a coach's call next week, so you guys can get that. All right. Bye-bye, everybody.